Good evening, everyone. It's really a pleasure, I think it goes without saying, to be back here in Mizrahi. And I have to admit that though I stood here many times before, and I really, after a while, feel at home, I hope that each time I came I did give a different shir, but I know this shir I've never given to you, simply because I've never had the schut of being here between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And indeed, we're just days before Yom Kippur, and there's a beautiful right parochet behind me. So, with permission from Dudi, who organized this year, obviously with the blessing of Ian and the entire leadership of Mizrahi, I just wanted to share one idea with you and to answer one question this evening, and that is something about this weekend. It's nothing to do with halacha. It has to do with a custom we all have. When we see people on Shabbos, what do we usually wish them? Shabbat shalom. But if you're more Hamish, what do you say? A good Shabbos. This week is Shabbos, but it's also Yom Kippur. It's Shabbos, but we'll be fasting. We'll be fulfilling all the five inuyim of Yom Kippur. And indeed, it's a very, very hard day to fulfill all those five inuyim of the day. If you look on the right side of the page, you'll see that, according to the Gemara in Masechet Arachin, Daf Yud Amud Bet, the Malachim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels say to God, Amur Malachi Hashemel Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, how come we don't say Hallel? It meets all the criteria of Hallel. It's a holy day. It's a day with restrictions of Milacha. It's like Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuot. Why don't we say Hallel? And the Gemara answers, Amar Lahem, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered these angels, Efshar Melech Hosheva Kisei Adin. It could be that God is sitting on the judgment throne. V'sifrei Chayim V'sifrei Mitim P'tuchim Lefanav. And the books of life and death are open before him. Israel Omrim Shira, you're in the middle of your trial and you're going to start saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, God is great, this is wonderful, let's sing a Karblach song. It's totally inappropriate. It's a very hard and serious day. And if you add to it the five Inuyim that are quoted in the next source on the right side, in the Shulchan Aruch, Yom HaKippurim Leilo Kiyomo, the entire day from night through night, L'chol Davar Mayim Adrim HaSurim Bo, Melacha, Achila, Shtiya, Rechitza, Sicha, Nilata, Sadar, Vetashmisha, Mita. The five additional things, eating, drinking, etc. Not to mention the fact that a melacha is forbidden on Yom Kippur. Indeed makes it into a serious and hard day. Serious because there's a lot at stake. And hard because there's so many things that we're not allowed to do. Most famous, of course, is eating and drinking. On the other hand, Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. And for some reason or another, while every other fast day is either pushed forward or pushed backwards when it comes out on Shabbos, for example, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, as it may come out this year, I always say may, because God willing, there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, but if it does come out the way it's supposed to, it's going to come out on Shabbos, when will we fast?
Sunday.
On Sunday. And if Tanit Esther, a happy fast day, comes out on Shabbos, like it did this past year, you bring it back to Thursday. Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, and we all say good Shabbos to each other, and yet we fast. And indeed, if you look on the left side of the page, it seems that there's many sources, and because time is limited, I just brought a few, that say that Yom Kippur is a very happy day. The Gemara in Tainis, Daf Kaf Vav Amud Bet, says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom haKippurim. There were no more happier days. Yamim Tovim. How would you say that in Hamish?
Good days.
Yom Tov comes from the word Yom Tov. Yom Tovs, then, Tu Ba'av, the 15th of Av, which we won't go into, and Yom Kippur. And the Gemara there goes on to say, it's a beautiful day, God's forgiving the Jewish people, it's really a wonderful day. More than that, halachically, if a person is sitting Shiva before Shabbos, and Shabbos comes in, what happens to that person's Shiva? They get up from the chair, they put on their Shabbos clothes, but in their hearts, and privately, they're still sitting Shiva. Shabbos is one of the days of Shiva. What happens this week? If a person, God forbid, is sitting Shiva, and Friday comes, and Yom Kippur enters Friday night, what happens to that person's Shiva? Finishes. Just like Sukkot, and Pesach, and Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah. Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Yoredeya, Simon Chin Tzadik Tet, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, Chashuvim Kiregalim Levatela Avilut. Look at the words he uses. It says it's just like the Regalim. Not that We allow it. Not that it's done, but it's like Yontif. Those are the words he uses. Like Sukkis and Pesach and Shavuos deRegalim, Levatel Avelut. So if you're sitting Shiva this week, God forbid, Friday night your Shiva is over. And indeed, as you could see in the next source, just like we do on every single Yontif, we are going to say something Friday night that we're going to say on the first night of Sukkis. You guys on the first and second night of Sukkis. Always gives me pleasure to say that. And we said it on the first and second night of Rosh Hashanah, as we do on Pesach and Shavuos. And that is the following. The Shulchan Aruch says, you start with Kol Nidrei, you say B'Yeshiva Shomala, B'Yeshiva Shomata, Kol Nidrei, V'Noagim V'Achar Kach Omer, Shehechiyanu. We don't say how terrible it is, we're at Yom Kippur, we're fasting again, what a terrible day it is, oy vavoy, so many sins, but rather it's such a happy day that A, the Gemara says it's as happy as Tu B'Av, B, it totally nullifies your Shiva or your Shloshim, and C, you say, and I quote, Shehechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Blessed be you, God, King of the universe, that we have arrived at this time. So which one is it? Is Yom Kippur a hard day or a happy day? They both start with H. But which one is it? I would like to suggest that if you look at the sources in the Torah, you'll see that saying Good Shabbos this week is not out of place. On one condition. And you'll see the condition as we go along. That saying Good Shabbos this week, as a matter of fact, is appropriate. Because if you look at the sources in the written Torah, there's not much difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The next source on the page, where it says source, you'll see that in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, where the Torah delineates all the holidays of the year, it starts with Shabbos, then it goes through Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkis, and then ends, of course, with Shmini Atzeret in what we call Simchas Torah. It says the following. Look at the left, right side of the page. One, Shabbat Shabbaton. Two, Mikra Kodesh. Three, Kol Melacha Lo Ta'asu. Shabbati LaHashem B'chol Moshvoteichem. Now look on the left side of the page regarding Yom Kippur. What is the only difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos? Let's maybe ask that question the opposite way. What's the similarities? Rob is correct. My host for dinner this evening, Rob, said, the only difference is ve'initem et nafshotechem. But other than that, it's a Shabbat Shabbaton, it's a Mikra Kodesh, and it's also kol melacha lo ta'asu. Exactly the three things that we're obligated on Shabbos, we're obligated on Yom Kippur, and the Torah uses the same exact terminology, as a matter of fact. The Onish is different. I don't know why, because I wasn't on the editorial board of the Torah, but indeed, you're correct. Your name? Also Robert. Easy to remember. So Robert says that indeed the Onish of Shabbos is much more severe. Not much, but definitely more severe than Yom Kippur. The Onish for Shabbos is Skila, and the Onish for Yom Kippur is Karet. But ultimately, other than that, the same terminology in terms of the obligations of the day, meaning if you want to be a Jew that doesn't violate the day, are the same. A, Shabbat Shabbaton. Two, Mikra Kodesh. Number three, Kol Melacha Lo Ta'asu. So they're basically the same, with one difference. Ve'initem et nafshotechem. That's the only thing that's on the left side of the page that's not on the right. So what we have to do this evening is define what that means. Now you all went to primary school, you went to Jewish schools, you went to shuls during your life. How did they translate the words ve'initem et nafshotechem? And you shall afflict yourself. Thus, the title of the shir is saying Good Shabbos is going to ruin my affliction. I would like to suggest this evening that if you look in the written Torah, the word inui can mean one of two things. As a matter of fact, they mean opposite things. They can mean torture. We read in the last week's parshas many times the word inu. Velakhu oto v'inu oto. If God forbid a Jewish man rapes a Jewish girl, it uses the word v'inu oto in terms of the punishment. In many other contexts in the Torah, it uses that term, which means affliction or torture. But if you look in the sources on the page, you'll see that the Torah also uses the same shoresh with regard to something else. Look at C and tell me, what do you think these following sources are? Yehoshua is witnessing the Jewish people dancing around the ego. Everyone's lebedik, dancing around the calf, the golden calf. And he says, "Ein kol anut gvura, ve ein kol anut chalusha, kol anut anochi shomea." When Yehoshua is describing to Moshe what's happening around the egel, do you think he's saying everyone's being tortured? What were they doing around the egel?
Dancing.
The first time in a shul around the world, I won't say which, where the rabbi decided to do our Karblach Friday night service, and they started dancing. A very old gentleman from the old country took me aside and said, "You ever wondered how they danced around the egel? Take a look." Obviously, they were dancing. And the Torah uses the word anut. More than that, 2 weeks ago, in the Parsha of Kitovo, when it talks about bringing the Bikurim, and it talks about how happy the farmer is, and he has to say the Mikra Bikurim, the Arami Ovei Davi that you probably recognize from where? From? The Haggadah, from the Seder. Va'anita, ve'amarta. Next source, in Bamidbar, when the Jewish people pass a certain area and they didn't have to go to war, it says, Ali be'er enu la. They were thanking God. There's a beautiful song in Parshat Chukat. Very small Az Yashir Yisrael. Et Shira Azot, Ani be'er enu la. Be'er chafaru asarim, karor nidivei ha'am, etc. I know it by heart, not because I know the Torah by heart. It's my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. And ultimately, again, the term is anu. More than that, the Torah then uses the same term when it talks about har grizim and har eval. When the Jewish people come into Israel, and they're going to have the ceremony on the two mountains of har grizim and har eval, the Torah again uses the term va'anu ve'amru, va'anu aliviyim. So we could see that in all these contexts, anu doesn't mean torture, but rather, what does it mean? Singing. Coming out and singing. Coming out and letting your soul burst out. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says on the bottom of that source, Enu la Hashem betoda zamru le'elokeinu b'chinor. Recognize that Pasuk from somewhere? We said it this morning. We'll say it tomorrow morning from Sukkah de Zimra. Anu la Hashem betoda. I'm sure it doesn't mean torture yourself by saying thank you to God. But rather it means, sing to God, thanks. Zamru le'elokeinu b'chinor. Sing out with the chinor, with the harp. Thank you. I sometimes forget my English. But thank you. And indeed the Eben Ezra says there, Divrei ha-mishorer li-Yisrael kemo va'anita va'amarta. V'yeshumim kemo kolanut va'anta shma ki yemei nehuvea. In all these sources, the word inui does not mean torture, but it means singing, allowing the soul to be free. I would like to suggest that Yom Kippur, ve'initem et nafshotechem, can mean either. Who is it up to?
You.
It's up to you. As a matter of fact, it's a function of how you live all year. If all year you yearn to be more with God, to be more with Torah, to have more learning done, to indeed have more time in shul, because there's so many things that are diverting you from doing it. You have obligations at work, obligations at home, obligations of kids and grandchildren. And you want and you yearn for more time, then ultimately it's a beautiful day. But if all year you can't stand coming to shul, and all you could say is davening is too long, and you don't necessarily spend time on your spirituality and on learning and whatnot, then it could be a day of torture. And allow me to give you the simple analogy. As you know, our relationship with God is a relationship that the Torah makes an analogy to sometimes to a master and a slave, sometimes to a father and a son, like Avinu Malkeinu, and sometimes to a husband and wife. Now, allow me to give an analogy from the husband and wife. A husband and wife are not made for each other. Either they argue all year, or they stay away from each other, each one on their phone, each one on their Facebook, each one on their own world. They just don't get into each other's ways. Their kids decide for their anniversary, they're going to give them a present. They're giving them a whole 3 days in a hotel, in a beautiful spa, in the middle of nowhere. Just one rule when you come in, everything's paid for. Kosher food galore, one rule. You have to leave your technology at the door. How will it be for that couple? 3 days of heaven or 3 days of torture?
Torture.
Ve'initem et nafshotechem, and you shall afflict us. This has never been worse than any. It's better to be at home and ignore each other. Now we have to actually look at each other. But if this husband and wife tried to nurture their relationship the entire year, and the entire year they're trying to get closer to one another, but she works and he works, and there's grandchildren and children, but they try to nurture their relationship, and their kids give them the same present, 3 days in a spa. The grandchildren take the kids. The technology is left at the door. What kind of inui would it be? Affliction? Or singing out to God saying, this is great. Will it be heaven or hell for them? It will be heaven. That's ultimately what happens on Yom Kippur. You can look at the five inuyim and say, these are five afflictions. I can't eat, and I can't drink, and I can't wear my leather shoes, etc. And it's just annoying, and I'm waiting till the day is over. And I open up the machzer, and I just see where we are, and I see how many pages are left, and I'm always looking at how many more pages we have to say. Because I don't like it all year, and I don't nurture it all year, and ultimately this is one day of torture, affliction. Or, you can look at the day and say, this is what I've been waiting for all year. I love coming to shul and davening properly, but I don't have the time during the week, or even on a Shabbos. I have to run home and eat. I have to run home and take care of my kids. I have to run home and do my thing. And I would love to spend more time hearing a good speech. And I'd love to spend more time davening and actually looking at what the words mean. And what a beautiful day God gave us. Nothing to divert your attention. Not even food. You can't eat. You don't have to worry about how you look on Yom Kippur because everyone has the same shoes. No shoes. It's a beautiful day. But it depends how you live all year. So we knew it can either mean affliction or praise. It's a function of how you live all year. And Yom Kippur can be a day where you say Shehechiyanu and you mean it, or it can be a day where you're forced to have all these afflictions and you say, ay, ay, ay. You can take the same afflictions and say, this is allowing me to work on my spirituality all day, or you can take the same afflictions and say, ay, this is taking me away from everything I enjoy, my computer, my cell phone, and everything else that takes me away from what's important. And my humble opinion is indeed called the Shabbat Shabbaton, just like Shabbos is. Because what is Shabbos all about? For 25 hours a week, what do we do? If you have to sum up Shabbos for a new convert, what would you say? A day of rest. A day of disconnect or reconnect to your family, to God. That's exactly what Yom Kippur is. Just square. Because you don't even have an obligation to eat three meals on Yom Kippur. And therefore, you ultimately can go ahead and do it square. And indeed, if you look at the sources on the bottom of the page, you'll see that V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat, the Jewish people keep Shabbos. Why? Because V'yom ha-Shvi'i Shabbat v'yinafash. God Sabbath, what's v'yinafash? How would you translate vayinafash? Refreshed. I like that. What's your name? Alan says refreshed. Says the Ramban, like Alan. V'zetam shavat vayinafash, v'hine shama yetera haba'a miyisod ha'olam. It's the neshama yetera, the extra soul. That extra soul that doesn't come out during the week because you're running here, you're running there. You don't have the time to really enjoy what you have. You know, at this time of the year, many people are quoting Rav Levi Yitzchak from Bardichev, trying to defend the Jewish people. So allow me to share a story where he berates the Jewish people. He told me to come to Melbourne, I got to do something opposite from everyone. I come from the Northern Hemisphere, so I'll do opposite of what Rav Levi Yitzchak usually does. He once saw a Jew running, and he asked him, where are you running to? And the Jew says, I'm running to make a living. And Rav Levi Yitzchak berated him and said, it's too bad you're not running to make a life. We make a living in order to make a life. And if all we're doing is making a living and making a living, when are we going to enjoy it? That's Shabbat Vayinafash. You work hard all week. Friday night you come home and you say, oh, I worked hard all week. Now I can enjoy the fruits of my labor. A beautiful Shabbos meal. Beautiful children and grandchildren around the table. I've worked hard all year on my spirituality. Comes Yom Kippur and I can now enjoy it. I have nothing to divert me. I've worked hard on this all year and now I can enjoy it. But that's up to how you live all year. Because if you're not interested in Vayinafash, then it's a day of torture. It's a day of inui from the word torture. But if it's not, then indeed, it's a day of singing. And thus the Haftorah on the morning of Yom Kippur is such a beautiful Haftorah. It mainly talks not about Yom Kippur. What does it talk about on the morning of Yom Kippur? We all know in the afternoon, what do we read?
Yonah.
But in the morning we read from the book of Yeshayahu, in which we talk about Shabbos. As a matter of fact, many Jews have the custom of saying those psukim before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Im tashiv mi Shabbat raglecha la'asot chafatzecha b'yom Shabbat kodshi. Why are we reading about Shabbos on Yom Kippur? Because it's exactly the same idea, just square. The Haftorah starts, and I quote, Lama tzamnu velo ra'ita onyayne nafshenu. Why have I fasted and I haven't seen onyayne nafshenu, the inui of my nefesh? What's the inui of my soul? Once again, it's up to you. But in this context, Yeshayahu is saying, I fasted, and I haven't yet seen my soul sink. I had nothing to divert me. No chillant waiting at home, it's about to be burnt. No kugel at the kiddush waiting outside. And I haven't yet seen the inui of my nefesh, the singing of my soul coming out. On a regular Shabbos, there's a halacha, if you look on the bottom of the page, that says you're not allowed to ask for petition on Shabbos. You can't petition God for Shabbos. Explains Rashi, on the bottom of the page, together with the Korban Eidah and the Yerushalmi, that that's because of one reason. Can anyone tell me what the reason is? Look on the bottom of the page, and in one sentence tell me what the reason is. To be precise, Robert, when Shabbos comes, you have to think everything's taken care of. When you come to shul Friday night, you have to say everything is where it's supposed to be. I can't cook, so whatever I have, I have. I can't go to the bakery. I can't go to the supermarket. Whatever I have, I have. You have to have that feeling that everything's done. When you come to Yom Kippur, you have to say everything I've prepared for all year is done. Now I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy my seat and shul that I paid membership for the entire year. I'm going to enjoy the time I have with a beautiful chazan, with the nigunim that we love. And if you look at the davening of Yom Kippur, you'll see that a good chazan indeed brings out all the nigunim we waited for all year. Because that's what we've been working on and waiting for all year. A time in which we can enjoy the fruits of our labor. And in this case, the fruits of our spiritual labor. If you turn the page, and with this I conclude, you can see that there's halachic ramifications to what I said. If indeed you worked on yourself all year and you waited for this, then indeed Yom Kippur can be a very happy day despite the fasting. It is Shabbos square, and you can wish each other a good Shabbos, because indeed it is exactly like Shabbos. Just like you enjoy the fruits of your labor on Shabbos, you will enjoy the fruits of your labor of Yom Kippur. As long as you worked on it all year, Yom Kippur can be a beautiful day.
But you haven't explained why you went to fast. I understand the minitan, but I don't understand why that...
If you didn't fast, if I had more time, I of course would explain it at length, but in a word, if you fast, you don't have concerns of when am I eating lunch and when am I eating dinner and when is breakfast.
For me, I have a lot of concerns.
I'm sure you do. But because those things are forbidden, we all think about eating. We're not angels. We're like angels. If you look on the bottom of the page, we wear white clothing like angels, but we're not angels. But I will just say, none of us like fasting, and no one can say I enjoy fasting, but I can tell you that the result of fasting is that you don't think about when am I going to make dinner and what time are my guests arriving. And when indeed am I getting out of shul to eat my children? Because, quite frankly, where do you have to go? The night of Yom Kippur, when should davening end? Anyone have anywhere better to be on the night of Yom Kippur? Dinner's not waiting at home. So ultimately, you can enjoy the fruits of your spiritual labor because of fasting. It's not fun to fast, that I agree with, but it definitely allows you to enjoy the fruits of your spiritual labor. And just to conclude, there's three halachic ramifications to what I said. Number one, Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is a fast day prayer. In Ne'ilah this week, will we mention Shabbos or won't we? Well, if we say Shabbos is separate from Yom Kippur, it happens to come out on the same day, then on Ne'ilah we shouldn't mention Shabbos. It should be only a Yom Kippur prayer. But instead, the Gemara says, Yom HaKippurim Shechal Yom B'Shabbat, like this year, HaMitpalel Ne'ilah, Tzarich Laskir Shel Shabbat, Yom Hu Shenitchayev Bar Bar Tfilot. Shabbos and Yom Kippur come together and merge. They're not separate. They're the same idea. You enjoy the fruits of your labor on Shabbos, and you'll enjoy the fruits of your spiritual labor on Yom Kippur. Number two, when the Rambam codifies Inui, he doesn't say on Yom Kippur you have to afflict yourself, as it says in the Torah, you have to afflict yourself, and thus you don't eat and drink, because when you don't eat and drink, you're hungry. How does the Rambam codify the law of not eating and drinking on Yom Kippur? Listen carefully. It's a positive commandment not to do melacha, lishbot mimelacha, to Sabbath, to rest from your melacha on the 10th day of this month. And he goes on and says, mitzvah acheret yesh b'yom ha-kippurim. How would you say it in English? There's another mitzvah in Yom Kippur that doesn't exist on Shabbos, and that is, how would you codify it? The fast. When the Rambam talks about Tisha B'Av, he says, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink. What does he say on Yom Kippur? Lishbot bo me'achila v'shtiya. To rest from eating and drinking. He doesn't say, don't eat and drink and feel terrible. He says, rest, Shabbat, from eating and drinking. And indeed, the dress code of Yom Kippur, if it's such a terrible, afflicting day, how would you dress for shul? You'd put on ripped clothing. You wear your shrouds and whatnot. How do we dress for Yom Kippur?
Your best finery.
Paskins the Mugen Avraham. Afilu mishalovesh sak michamat tshuva. If a person went to a psychologist who told him, in order to do tshuva repentance, wear sackcloth, walk around like a shmata, says the Mugen Avraham, it is forbidden to wear that on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a beautiful day, just like Shabbos. If on Shabbos you enjoy the fruits of your physical labor, Yom Kippur you enjoy the fruits of your spiritual labor if you worked on it all year. And therefore we say Shehechiyonu, and therefore it is a day that is totally appropriate, in my opinion, to say good Shabbos to one another, on condition that indeed it's not a day of affliction, but it's a day of happiness. Happiness that we can enjoy the fruits of the labor that we worked on so hard all year. And for 25 hours, our only concern is enjoying the fruits of our spiritual labor from the entire year. The time of Ma'ariv has arrived, and I apologize that I couldn't take any more questions, but I'll be here after Ma'ariv if anyone has any follow-up. So thank you very much, and a Gemar Chatimah Tovah to you and the entire community.